Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Last week, when I read today's text, one verse in particular caught my attention. Maybe it intrigued me because it seemed to be in tension with itself. And I wondered how I was supposed to ease the tension. Or maybe it caught my eye because it is in tension with observable reality. And I'm always looking for ways to negotiate my way through that tension between what the Bible says is true and what my own experience keeps telling me is true. Whatever. The verse that I'm talking about is verse 15 of today's reading. I dwell high and holy, but with the crushed and humble, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the crushed. See the tension? I dwell high and holy. Read transcendent and set apart. But with the crushed and humble. How does that work? The verse seems to be in tension with itself. And then there is the tension between my world, where God seems noticeably absent, and the text, which says that he is with the crushed and humble. Where or how exactly is God with anyone at all? And who are the crushed anyway? How can this verse possibly be true in any meaningful way? Especially when the rest of the text seems to imply that God himself is the one who crushed these people in the first place. That is, if God is with them at all, he is with them in an awfully negative way. Now, in the process of trying to relieve the tension, it occurred to me that the crushed and humble people in the text include those who feel a particular kind of pressure. Specifically, I think that these are people who, for spiritual reasons, unknown maybe even to them, can't get away from their own sins. They can't get them off their back, so to speak. People like David, who at one point cries, "My iniquities have overwhelmed me. They are like a heavy burden, more than I can bear. I am numb and badly crushed. I groan because of the turmoil in my mind." Let me try to make what I mean a little more concrete for you. A few days ago, I ran across this conversation on an internet forum. These are some words from a man who committed adultery and wrecked his marriage. He writes, "I just get up and live life every day feeling my chest sink to my knees when I think about the wife and best friend, house, dogs, and future I left out in the cold. I've learned to accept that me and only me was responsible for my actions. But one thing I cannot seem to escape is the pain I feel for doing something so atrocious to my wife and only real friend I had in the world. I know I need therapy, but it seems I won't give myself permission to do anything other than ruin myself as punishment for doing what I did. There is no chance of reconciliation between me and my wife now, and I am trying to turn my focus on earning her forgiveness, and my own forgiveness for that matter. I know that for those of you who are recent victims of infidelity, there may be a considerable amount of anger towards me, and you are entitled to that, but you will never hate me more than I hate myself right now. I hope someone can suggest a way to help." You see, this man's adultery is his own personal Pharaoh, his Egypt that oppresses him and will not let him go. Or listen to this letter from a young woman. "I am 34, married 7 years. I had an abortion not quite 4 years ago. The pain of the knowledge of what I did is permanent, deep, and fresh again when I least expect it. A word about a child, Mother's Day, a song, can literally rip me apart. There is never any warning. In the middle of the happiest moment, something will trigger a sadness for my action. I can't make you feel how I feel or how I felt. I would be writing for hours. Even if I talked with you, you could not know the pain I've set myself up for. It's not just babies that abortion kills. It's mothers, too." See, abortion is this woman's Pharaoh. her Egypt that oppresses her and will not let her go. Some of you, I'm sure, may be familiar with the prison. Maybe some of you have occupied its cells for extended periods of your life. Maybe you know all too well the crushing burden of sin that cannot be undone, the load of guilt and the weight of responsibility for damage that you can't repair. How does anyone escape from this kind of spiritual bondage? How do you free a conscience? Does anyone have the answer to the hard-hearted pharaohs of the human soul? Well, you know that no man does. Remember, only God and an act of the Almighty God could defeat Egypt. God performed the miracles that set his people free. Only God. And that is still the case for us. It takes a miracle to comfort a soul that has been crushed. It takes a divine intervention, a divine, not a human word. But you see, that is just what God gives us. What word could possibly revive someone who has been so crushed by his or her sin? What word can release a tortured conscience and destroy the pharaohs of the human soul? Only one word. And you know that that word is Christ, God's Son, whom the Father counted with those who had been crushed and humbled by their sin. Only to give him back his life. Only to give him a resurrection. The miracle is that this is God's word to you. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrow, your sorrows. And we considered him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, your transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, your iniquities. The punishment for our peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. You are healed. Don't doubt God. Any pharaoh is still just a pharaoh and cannot withstand a single word from God. God has spoken his word of grace to you, and that is that. It is the greatest of miracles. He gave his own son into death for you. Of course he no longer condemns you. He loves you way too much. There is no need to condemn yourself. Now think about this as well. In your ministries, this is the word that you will be giving to people. And in giving them this word, the Holy Spirit will be at work in people's hearts to give them that experience of Christ, which ultimately is an experience of resurrection. The Holy Spirit will be getting them off the hook, getting sin off their backs. Through the word you speak, the Holy Spirit sets God's people free. And so through you, for people who are crushed by sin, who cannot forgive themselves, who can't get themselves off the hook, through you, the Holy Spirit performs that miracle, the mighty act of God to overthrow the enemy. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Through the Word, he brings dead people to life. He revives the crushed and humble. As Christ rose, he raises them. He gives them that experience of freedom in the here and now. Far from being absent in the word of Christ, God is mightily present, rescuing imprisoned souls, raising dead and dying hearts. And so, when a man or woman comes into your office after the Sunday service, even after Holy Communion, and even after an incredibly great sermon, I'm sure, still troubled by their sins, and unable to forgive themselves, unable to get out of the prison, you free them again with the word that God has given you to speak. As often as their Pharaoh holds them, holds on, and tries to enslave them, just that often you set them free with a mighty word of God, the good news of Christ crucified and risen for them. You boldly announce their forgiveness. In the stead of God himself, you forgive. Until God comes again and does away with this sin forever. He has left us with this ministry. Quicken the quaking heart. Release the prisoners from their captivity. Proclaim the love of God in Christ to a world where he seems so incredibly absent. Bring to people the joy of their salvation. You see, the tension of this verse melts away when instead of seeing it as a description about God in general, you see it as pure gospel and the words of Christ himself to you. I dwell high and holy, but with you, the crushed and humble, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the crushed. Go in peace, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace, forgive as you have been forgiven. Amen. Now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus. Amen.